Good morning, everyone. Do we have any Sheeternity women in here? You know, I just want to say, let me start off first by introducing who we are a little more. Besides being married for 20 years, we have two beautiful, beautiful teens in our house. I'm going to say it like that because oftentimes people refer as teen as, you know, hard-headed and all of that. I could truly say that we've been blessed. We have a 14-year-old, Matthew, he is 14, just started high school, and Lillian is 17, and it's her first year in college. So I feel like we're going through a new phase in our life, but it's so good. But I just want to express and say, you know, you ladies, and I will share in a few a little more about Christine and Sean, but I just want you to know that this weekend refreshed my faith. It really did. I feel like it renewed my love for God. You know, it gave me a new vision, a new way of the way that God could work in my life and in my ministry. So I just wanted to know, I know that so many of you, it was overwhelming, the love, or just how I was able to bless you using God's word. But I want you to know that you refresh my faith. And I am so grateful for all the cards and all the thank you and all the ways that you expressed specifically how the class helped you. So thank you once again, and thank you for welcoming us this morning.
Well, good morning. I think I don't need a mic. We have a mic here. It's so good to be here. We love many of you, really, the church. We're so indebted. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel. I am privileged to be married to this amazing woman. So thank you, ladies, for taking care of her. And let me tell you a little bit what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about faith. And I want you for a minute to resist the temptation and say, well, I already know about faith. I mean, faith is one of those things that, I mean, could you ever not talk about enough? But I guarantee you this, and this is from the bottom of my heart and my own experience, that you will learn. And if you want, you will grow in your faith today if you decide to with some of the things that we talk about. So hopefully you want to leave here with more faith. I don't know about you, but, you know, more of a lot of things, more of a good thing could be really good, right? If I were to tell you, listen, you're going to walk out of here with more money in your bank account, you will probably be like, yes. If I were to tell you, listen, you're going to walk out of here with a higher IQ, you're like, yes. Well, let me tell you, faith is more important than those things. Because the Bible is clear. It says that there are only three things that remain. When everything is done, when it's all said and done, it says faith, hope, and love. And faith is on top of that list. So it's a really important thing. It's incredibly essential. We're going to really talk about what faith is and what it's not and some of the things that we learn. So let's go to God in prayer. Let's prepare our minds and our hearts. And then let's open up God's word. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and God, thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for allowing us to be here, to be a part of this family, to exist in this time, in this age, God, in the right place that you've set us, God, to be able to accomplish something for you. God, thank you so much for the women who just came back refreshed from this weekend, from this retreat, God. I pray that their lives will continue to grow and change, and they'll make you proud, and they'll be amazing daughters for you. Father, thank you so much for the men in this church, God, and the children and everyone who is here right now, and even those that are connected with us through social media, God. Thank you for technology and the way that we're able to use it to advance your kingdom. Father, use us. Be with us, God. Open our minds, open our hearts. And we ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to go to Matthew 8 and we're going to park there. Literally, we're going to go there. And what we're going to do, honestly, is something that the world of technology uses quite often. Sometimes it's even frowned upon because you can discover a lot of things. But God has given us permission, I believe. And what we're going to do is we're going to actually reverse engineer this passage. So what we're going to do is we're going to take this passage and we're going to look at it in a way that we perhaps have never looked at it before. And it was helpful to me to kind of step back, look at it, dissect it, and learn some things of what we can learn. So in Matthew chapter 8, let's begin reading here together. We're going to be introduced to a guy who is not an ordinary guy. This wasn't just your typical average person. He was amazing in many ways. And so we have an opportunity to see and to learn. So in verse 5 of Matthew 8, we're going to go ahead and read this together. Once I find it here. Go ahead, hon. All right, here we go. So it says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, A centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he better go. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. But he said, he goes. And that one, come. And he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, check this out. He turns around. The guy's talking. He says that he's not worthy. And Jesus, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel, anyone in the ATL with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from east and west and will take their places in the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you, but this is a pretty amazing passage. But there's this guy. We don't even know his name. He's just a Roman centurion. So let's just call him Roman. This guy, Roman, he was not a pretty boy. He was not the greatest looking guy, right? This is actually a kind of a model of a sketch, computerized, of what they believe Roman soldiers would have looked like back then. Not the best looking guy. Not the guy that you just feel kind of warm and you just kind of like, man, that's my boy. I just want to hang out. Probably someone you would want to go to war with. Someone you know that you would have to respect. These guys were intense. And he didn't play. He didn't play around. But there's a lot that we can learn about this guy. And one of the first things I can tell you is this. Regardless of how you look, and I'm not just talking about superficially, whether you feel you're ugly, because you've messed up, faith can make you attractive to God. I don't know about you, but that fires me. Like, look, I don't care how ugly, how bad I feel, how jacked up I seem, faith makes us look good. And not just to God, to the point where God would tell other people, check it out. And we see historically, biblically, you know, guys like Abraham, even at their old age, God is like, man, look at his faith. He became the father of faith. And just example after example, when people were faithful, God is like, wow, that's pretty powerful that we can wow God. Now, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with wowing each other. But if we're honest, sometimes we're more concerned about wowing other people versus wowing God. I want to look good for my wife. I like when my wife says, honey, you look good. You smell good. I mean, my wife is beautiful. I love it. And she loves when I tell her she looks beautiful. But when's the last time you felt like God said, you look beautiful? Or the last time you felt like God said, man, that's my boy, that's my guy. He is just so faithful, like he did with Job in the scriptures. Job was so faithful that God boasted to Satan about him. I don't know about you, but that is like the man. He's like, oh, have you checked out my man Job? Why? Because he was faithful. It wasn't like he's so wealthy. He's so rich. As a matter of fact, that's what Satan threw back at him. It's like, oh, of course he's faithful. He has it all. He's like, no. He is faithful. You realize that we have the capacity to do that before God, to look good before God. So you, like I said earlier, you can make a decision today that you're going to wow God, that you're going to go a little bit better looking before God if you so decide to do so. Amen?
You know, it is easy for me, and I'm going to be honest here, and I'm sure Marcus is, we keep it real. We believe in that, and I'm sure you guys all do as well. But I don't always feel that I could go to Jesus when I'm a mess. You know, I don't know if you build like me, but for me, is I want to come before you when I'm put a little bit together, when I have figured some things out, and then I go and I ask for the help. Why? Because for some reason, I think a lot of it have to do with the way that I was brought up. I grew up Catholic, you know, and a lot of Catholics, it's not about grace, it's about doing. So oftentimes I catch myself, you know what, you need to go to God, but I feel like I want to help God. I want to give him a little hint of what I need at times. You know, and one of the things that I love about this scripture is that, you know, God is always willing. The question is, do we ask? Do we humble ourselves? You know, this scripture, you know, Marcos is referring, desperation does not equal faith. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when I'm desperate, I don't go to faith. I go to action, but action that is not equates faith. Action that equates I'm really doing rather than God doing. You know, when was the last time that you went and made a request to God that maybe out of desperation you have but no choice but turn to God? You know, oftentimes I unfortunately have to get to that point that I get pushed around the wall, get to the point that I have nowhere to look but look up rather than looking down and looking to the side and looking to who or what or went. God is constantly reminding me, I am your answer. And I know the scripture. The Bible talks about Ephesians 2, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, that he gives me a spirit of power. Yeah. Oftentimes, I got to learn over and over again how to tap into that power of love and self-control. You know, discipline. He gives me everything that I need, but I don't always go to the person that could meet those needs. I don't know if you could relate. You know, in Ephesians 3, verse 20, you know, he is able to do more than what I could ask or imagine. But it's a beautiful thing when I get to that point of desperation and I go to him, because then I get to see what he can do in my life. And oftentimes, it's the thing that I think that is impossible because he is faithful, and I'm not always faithful.
Amen. You know, like Marilla said, desperation doesn't equate faith. It can lead us there, but it doesn't equate. As a matter of fact, if you look at this passage, this man was desperate, and he was desperate for his servant to be healed, so he went to Jesus. I mean, he knew, man, listen, if anybody can help, it could be Jesus. He's like, listen, please help me. My servant is sick. He's dying. He's in pain. He's in torment. Please help him. And sometimes we stop there. We think, okay, that's faith. That's good. You know, we take that first step. And it's not that it's a bad thing, but it doesn't necessarily equate faith, because a lot of people went to Jesus out of desperation, but it doesn't mean they were faithful. A lot of people come to church. A lot of us, let's be honest, we got to a point in our lives where we felt desperate because our marriages were falling apart, because our lives were in shambles, because we were in pain and we were hurting. So we came to God. We're like, God, I don't know where else to turn. Please. That's not a bad thing. It's just the beginning. But do you realize that Jesus wasn't impressed and didn't commend him or say anything about when he first came to him? He was like, wow, look at this faithful guy. He just had a conversation with him. And so it starts having a conversation with God. And, you know, God is always speaking to us. We're not always ready to speak to him. But when we get desperate, even people who are atheists or people who mess up their lives and might be sentenced to prison, they're like, oh, please help me, God. Yeah. So those moments when we're desperate, we talk to him. But here's the thing. Do we have the humility to listen? Because I believe that's where faith really begins. It's with that humility. It's not the desperation. It's not the seeking out. That's good. But the humility to listen to what God has to say. And so as we reverse engineer things and we get to the part where it really stands out like faith, is this guy's humility and lack of feeling entitled. This guy was not entitled. He had a lot of authority. He had a lot of power. He should have felt entitled, but he was humble. He was so humble that he was like, no, 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 what are you talking about? Like, I need something from you, but I don't want to inconvenience you. You don't have to come to my house. Like, I don't even deserve to have you come under my roof. And so the enemy or what kills our faith is our pride and our entitlement. And you might say, well, I'm not entitled. All other people are entitled. Listen, let me tell you how it is easy to become entitled with God. You feel like God's supposed to bless you. Like, you really feel like something's wrong with God. And we might not say it, but like, God, like, did you forget about me? Like, I'm supposed to be blessed. And that happens when other people get blessed. You start feeling like, I'm supposed to get blessed. And so we really start feeling down and sometimes depressed because we're not blessed in the way we think we should be blessed. But that's entitlement. That's not humility. That's like telling God, listen, you've messed up. Do you realize that this guy wasn't even asking for something for himself? He really was a good guy, a good friend. He cared about his servant so much that he was like, man, I'm going to put myself out there for him. And I realized, man, there's a lot of things in life. And how it works, and you know, when I do stuff with marriage, it exposes a lot. You learn a lot. We've done a lot of research and studies as well. And there's some amazing groups out there that spend a lot of time and energy. And one of these studies that I discovered recently, and I kind of knew this, but you know when someone actually spells it out for you, you're like, aha, I get it. They did a study of what it means to desire someone, all right? Anyone here ever wanted to be with someone? You loved them, you wanted to spend the rest of your life with, right? You fell in love, you went head over heels for them, right? And so you get to that moment, and it's an emotional state. It's called limerence, right? It's basically a place where emotionally you feel so infatuated, you can't imagine yourself living without this person. And so it's they measure, and they're like, before you get married, before you're actually, you know, in some way hooked up with this person, your desire for them is really high. Once you have them, once they're your wife, once you're married, that desire goes down. You take them for granted. You start feeling a little bit entitled. All of a sudden, he's not that awesome. She's not that amazing. You may even find a few flaws. And so your desire goes down. Now, it doesn't mean you don't desire them at all, you don't love them, but man, but you know when you really have the highest point of desire? When they're no longer there. When they're no longer in your life, if they pass away, they leave you, if something happens, it says that it's even greater than that first level of desire. Because it's like that saying, you don't know what you're missing until it's missing. And so with God, right, you don't know. It's God. Like, where is it? Even whatever it is, you can take it for granted. You know how it is? You see little kids playing around. They don't care about that toy. All of a sudden, what happens when another little kid decides to play with that toy? That's my favorite toy. No, it wasn't. You didn't care. We are just like that. And guess what? We're just like that with God. We take it for granted. We have God, especially all of us. It's amazing to see baptisms. But you know, we take God for granted sometimes more when we're a Christian than when we're not. Because sometimes we're searching, we're hungry, we're thirsty before, but then we have that living water. Now we're good. Now some of us even have forgotten what it was like to be lost, what it was like to feel aimless and empty and discouraged and guilty. And so we take it for granted. We almost feel like that's life. Yeah. That's not life for most people. Most people don't experience life, even on the worst day. Because at the end of the day, we could just say, you know, Mike and I were talking, and we're like, you know, there's those days where you just feel like you just want Jesus to come back. You just want Jesus to come. Now, there's those moments where you're like, you can take a little bit more time. Maybe I'm not ready. I never forget a dear friend of mine. She's 81. Her name is Rosie. I've known her since I was 5 years old. She's a mother of one of my best friends. She's a faithful disciple. We went to visit her in New York. And we always knew her as the flower lady because she had connections with the flower shop. So real quick, I had her order a special arrangement for a funeral once. And she's like, tell me what you want me to write, because one of our friends, and I was like, a sister named Carmen passed away. And we said, Carmen, you know, just tell her we miss you. We'll see you soon. And she's like, uh-uh. I was like, what do you mean? She said, I'll see her, but I don't want to see her soon. Can we just see you in the future? The truth is, you know, we take things for granted. So as we think about faith, I want you to ask yourself, in what ways, not if, but in what ways are you taking your relationship with God for granted? And then after that, I want your help a little bit here. How many of you guys like technology? Like you're into technology? Okay, you admit it, that's okay. iPhones, Androids, I know there's always the battle. All right, Android, all right, that's good. Bro, don't worry, man, no one's perfect. It's all right. It's all right. Bro, if Apple calls and says they want to hire you for a gig, you'll do it, bro. I know you would. All right, so check this out. So if I take my phone, right, if I ask Siri to do things, I'll use the mic here. I'll say, hey, Siri, turn off the auditorium lights.
It looks like you haven't set up any HomeKit accessories. You can connect smart
You hear what
devices.
She said? She's like, you didn't set it up. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. Siri's kind of new. God didn't have. So you know what? When God says something, he would be like, turn the lights off. You don't need to say, hey, Siri. He just says, turn lights off. Right? Oh. And you know what else he does? Check this out. It's so awesome. There was a time before anything was created, God simply said, let there be light. That's all he said. Let there be light. That's what he did. Forget technology. God just has it like that. He's that awesome. But let me tell you what I've learned. And the reason I wanted to do that little illustration. Thank you. God's word is so amazing. And this centurion understood it. That he simply said this. Go back and look at it. Just say the word and it will be done. Just say. That's enough. You know what that means for us? Is his word enough? Is it enough? Because that's where I believe the real faith came, is that this guy was like, you're God. Like, just say it, and it's done. Like, I don't need anything else. Now, let's get real. How many of us feel like we need God to explain to us how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, what's taking him so long? Like we really feel like we need an explanation. And a lot of guys in the Bible got in trouble because of that, because they felt like they had an expectation. But this guy's faith was so amazing. He said, just say the word. Like, God, I don't thank you, but I don't need that. Like, all you need to do is say it and it's done. Yeah. Do you realize God doesn't need faith? Because he knows he's going to do it. He knows. Like, if you know you're going to do something, as a matter of fact, sometimes I get insulted. If I tell someone, like, yo, angel, I'll be there. And if, you know, not angels, usually pretty good with this. But sometimes people are like, are you sure you're going to be there? Are you sure you're coming? I'm like, dude, I already told you that I'm coming. Like sometimes we doubt people, especially if they let us down before. And so we sometimes doubt God because we feel like God has let us down. And so we're like, well, God, I need reassurance. I need a guarantee. I need to know that you're going to do this. And sometimes we can be a little religious. We're like, oh, we'll claim it. But deep down inside, we're like, is it going to happen? Mm-hmm. Planting this church in Wilmington, Delaware, mm-hmm. has been one of the hardest things I've done in my life. Yeah. I love the church. I love the people. I love Wilmington. Mm-hmm. But I'll be turning 45 in a few weeks. That's all right. I'm still young. You do the math. Do the math. Mike was my team worker. Just remember that. I'm just saying. Brother, Big Papa, we love you. Don't worry. But, you know, sometimes I'm out there. I'm in the streets of Wilmington, and I'm starting this church, and my wife is with me, and my family's with me. But I'm like, why wasn't I doing this 20 years ago? Mm. Now, I've had an opportunity to be part of amazing ministries, and that's how I grew and learned about ministry, learning from Mike, being with great men. I mean, Angel and I have so much in common because Mike really trained and poured his heart out into us. Mm-hmm. But we're starting from scratch. Like, this is brand new. I've never planted a church from scratch. And let me tell you, this is like a no-frills church. What I mean by that is there's no label. Sometimes people are like, what are you? Just Christian. And they're like, well, do you belong to a denomination? We're like, no. And even in the past where I thought I didn't belong to a denomination, I'm going to be honest with you, we had a denomination. And we had support and we had encouragement. And let me tell you, relationships are very important. Yeah. And I love these folks. I mean, these guys have been amazing. I'm really going to share more about them. But when we get back home, it's still lonely. Yep. It's still hard. It's the loneliest time of my life. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, you got friends here. No. A man of many companions will come to ruin. Yeah. But there's a man that sticks close to the brother. Like, we can't take for granted those people that God puts in our lives that are very, very special. And I hope and pray you're surrounding yourself with some faithful men and women who would help you to draw closer to God. Yeah.
You know, it's hard to feel alone and know that you're alone. But there's a difference when you know that you're alone, but that you have people rooting for you. You know, and I feel that, you know, that's where Marcos and I are right now in our faith. You know, it's lonely because we're very relational. But I feel like in spite of all that, God is still working. I just cannot thank you guys. You guys have no idea the gem that you guys have in Mike and Sean. when you're going through it alone, you could always look to someone and know that it's like, you know what? They made it. They went through it. They were faithful. They standing strong. And you feel like, you know what? I'll get through this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel. We feel that Mike and Sean have been to us. Mm-hmm. They are the going before us. You know, before, you know, it reminds me what they've been through. And then I'm like, you know what? We'll be fine. We'll be through this. We'll go through this. Yes, we have God. And yes, we have each other. We have drawn more closer to each other than ever. And it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. But you need people. And I am grateful for Mike and Sean because they are always there. It doesn't matter what time, what situation, you know, it's they are always available. And we need friends like that. You know, it was so encouraging. Mike have no idea what this morning did to me. You know, this weekend was amazing for me, connecting with the women and pouring out my heart and sharing the scripture and learning myself. But just coming back and hearing Mike and telling me, Marcos and I had a good conversation, and it was very productive, and he's going to be fine. You know how encouraging that is, to know that I could make that call or I could have that conversation, and I know that Marcos is going to get what he needs from his relationship. Thank you. Thank you to the both of you for the many years and for keeping up and for when we fall, helping us stand up back again.
Amen.
You know, and then I want to go to this side.
Come on.
I feel like Christine and Angel are the one that remind us of what it was like to be young, of what it was like for God to use us, of what it's like to have that faith, that unwavering faith. You know,
energy,
we could call that energy, that zeal, that love for God, that, you know what, God did it before, he could do it again.
That's right.
You know, at any time we could call, at any time that we need to have a conversation, I walk away with renew. I'm like, I'm pumped. I'm ready. Come on, let's go. You know, but I love their love for God and for people. You know, I love their realness. They keep it real. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that their faith is unwavering, that they've been through some stuff too, but that they could, you know, they remind us, you know what, we're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. The realness in the conversation. So God is always working even when we don't see him. Thank you from the bottom Amen. Of our hearts.
I mean, of course, she shared it, and they couldn't do this without you guys. So their staff, the elders, the support, the friends, I mean, this is the real deal. And if you're here for the first time and you're, I mean, I'm sure you could have went anywhere for church. You decided to come here. And I really believe we're family.
Yep.
And you guys are not just that. You guys have become our partners in the gospel. Like
yes.
Angel and I talk practically every week. And we hold each other accountable. We pray. We follow up. We even during the week, like, how you doing in this area? We get real. We get open. Mike and I mean, we really literally could talk about anything because we know. I remember Mike before he was famous. Like, I mean, I just know. You know, I mean, that's just the reality. Sean, I knew. I was in their wedding. They allowed. I was the knucklehead. I guess someone canceled, and they're like, come on. But we had. No, I was his team. He was a team. And he was like, man, I would love for you to be a part of my wedding. And I rented a tuxedo, and I got to be a part of my man's wedding and to almost 30 years ago. Isn't that amazing? So God is really good. Let's go back to faith for a minute, because I want us to walk away here really clear. Like, there are some serious misconceptions about faith. And I want to talk about them, because this is what faith is and what's not. It's faith is not, and let me say it's not, immeasurable. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, not, I love my boy Jazz, but he's got a shirt that says faith. And then one of the things, let me see what shirt, it's confident. And he says it's unseen. We'll talk about that one. But a lot of times people say, you know, faith is, you can't measure faith. That's not true. You don't find it in the Bible. As a matter of fact, in a different account, Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard, that means that even a little, you can measure faith.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, when's the last time you measured your faith? Like, do you know the level of your faith? And faith is kind of like a gas tank. Like, you can have a lot of faith, and then it could be on E. So some of us still think, oh, yeah, last time I checked, I had a lot of faith. Check again. Like, it might be empty. Because if you don't build your faith, faith goes away. Discouragement steals your faith. the situations of life, the deceitfulness of what these things choke us. We lose faith. You can lose. You've heard that losing faith. You can lose it. So it's not like you have it and that's it. So that's a fallacy. That's a lie. You can measure faith. And you should be able to measure, just the way you measure internet speed or the way you entered, you know, like how fast is your processor. You should be able to look at the level of your faith. And there are ways to measure that. Number one, how bold are you in your prayers? If you start using words like if, you're in trouble. There's an account where a guy went to Jesus. He wasn't like the centurion. He was actually really faithful. He just had very little faith. He was on E. And Jesus, he's like, if you can heal him. He's talking about his son. And Jesus is like, if? Like, oh, I could do it. Now, maybe if he would have said, you know, can you please or hurry up or he was like, if. Now, I love Dr. Jackson. But isn't it sad like if someone is going to go to a certain, you know, you have to trust him. And then he's like, if we can help you, like we're going to do, it's like you got to sound confident, at least fake it, right? Like at least sound you confident. I could do it. But the truth is, faith is measurable. Something else is, faith is not just something good to have. It's not like a good thing to have in your back pocket. Like faith is essential. Like what does the Bible say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's like, it's impossible. Like going back to that gasoline example, it's impossible to drive your car without power, right? Whether it's that electric power now or fuel or something, it's impossible. You realize the Bible doesn't even say there are many things that are impossible, but pleasing God without faith is impossible. So it's incredibly essential. And last but not least, faith is not blind. A lot of times people talk about blind faith. I don't know where they get that from. It just probably sounds good. Blind faith. No, like faith is never supposed to be blind. If you have blind faith, you don't know where you're going. You got to know. You know, the other week, I was doing this show on, you know, every week I do the show on relationship. And this one guy calls about that he wants to get married. He's a good guy. And he says, man, I got to share something. So he calls in and he says, I'm blind. And so I asked him, I said, so what are you looking for? And he's like, well, a lot of times people look for outer beauty. He's like, but I can't see outer beauty. So I see things right away that other people don't. I'm like, this dude can see more than most people. Because faith is not blind. As a matter of fact, faith allows us to see things that most people can't. And that's why it's almost to the point when you have faith, it's like it's like that's it. Like you don't need anything else. Like you're done. Like to someone else, it might look like, wow. But you're like, I see it. It's clear. God has done it. And let me tell you, it is hard to do things. But one thing I'm for sure, I'm positive, my wife and I are positive, is that God is blessing what we're doing. Like, we have zero doubt. Like, there's not even one part. I told Angel, I told Mike, I was like, there's not even one part of me that has felt like, wow, we made a mistake. Why? Because we felt God called us to do something, and the place we're doing it is very different than what you guys are used to. It's very different than anything I've been a part of. The reality is we're in a new territory where almost 80% of the people are unchurched. 78% to be exact. They don't go to church. They don't think about church. They don't feel guilty for not going to church. I mean, literally, it's like, church? And God has opened the door for us to be at church. And the people he's sending us, wow, it's totally God. And so I know it's going to be okay. My problem, pray for me, is what do I do from now till it happens? It's like knowing this little plant is going to become a tree, but I need some fruit now. Like, I'm hungry now. I'm thirsty now. Like, I know it's going to be a coconut tree, and I'll get to drink some good coconut water, but it's pretty dry right now. And so pray for us, because that's the next thing. You know, I can preach about faith. I probably got to work on my patience. I believe. I'm just like, God, you know, hurry it up a little bit. But the truth is, these are things that faith are, you know, relationships make a difference. Because sometimes you can't see it, but if other people see it, it helps you to see it. It's no substitute. You can't go on someone else's faith and like, they see it, so I'm going to see it. No, but it helps you. Because what happens is, you ever had these like optical illusions that everybody seems to find what's there, but you don't? I'm not really tempted to be deceitful, but in those moments where everyone's getting it, I feel like, oh, yeah, I see it. It's a image of Jesus, right? That's what it is. Like, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't see it. So I'm like, am I dumb? Like, am I colorblind? Like, I can't see it. But when everyone else sees it, it helps you. And then sometimes they just point to something. Like, look, there's the head. There's the image of Jesus. And then you're like, I see. I get it. See, sometimes that's all we need. We don't see it. But if we're surrounded by faithful people and they see it, it's an encouragement to know that it's there. God's working. And this weekend for us, that's what it's been. We had an amazing conference. It was so much of what we needed. But then the relationships, the time that we got to spend with the Pattersons, with the Maldonados, with you guys in the church. I mean, it just helps us. Like, I see it. God is doing something. And we appreciate the partnership. We appreciate the prayers. Like I said before, we're reverse engineering this. So don't let anything try to trick you into thinking that faith is just something superficial. That it's real. You may not see all the components in your phone or in your laptop or in technology, but if it works, you know it's real. You don't have to see air to know you're breathing, right? The evidence is enough. And we know, many of us know that, right? In Hebrews, it's faith is sure, it's being certain of what we hope for and sure of what we do not see, right? For the hope, the things we hope. And so I'm hoping, I'm praying that as we walk out of here, making a decision that we will be more faithful. Amen. That we're going to trust, and we look at this centurion. Let's go back here as we wrap it up. Look what he says and what Jesus says about him as we close out. Go back to Matthew chapter 8. Jesus having this conversation, right? And he says, I'm not worthy, you know, don't come. And then he says, Lord, I do not deserve you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed, right? And then he talks about what he does. What did Jesus say? I have not found such great faith. One thing this guy got is he knew that if Jesus said it would happen, it's going to happen. There was no doubt. And you know what? At that moment, his servant was healed. At that moment, like I don't know, but I'm just going to be honest here. Sometimes when that moment, I'm like, God, just say the word. But I said it already. I said the harvest is plentiful. I said that I am with you always to the very end of the age. So I got you. Amen. Do we believe it? Amen. So brothers and sisters, thank you so much for allowing us to just share a little bit of our lives. Pray for our family. Yeah. Pray for our church. Yeah. I pray that we continue to have this amazing partnership that I know we will. And we're going to see some amazing things because of the faith in our amazing God. Thank you. Amen. God bless. Yeah.